Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe, we back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
Bang! What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and this is the Video Game Bang, episode 503. Wow, we hit that 500 mark. I want to thank all the new listeners coming on in the month of July. I don't know what happens. Maybe there's this magical land after you hit episode 500, you make it onto the list of podcast gods. They're finally blessing us because the listening, the downloads have been insane every day this month. So thank you guys. I hope you enjoy the show. If you're new, then you probably don't know this guy because he hasn't been on the show for a few weeks, but he is one of the VGB mainstays. David Webb, what is up, man?
What's up, everybody? I have a retraction that we have to make.
What happened?
You said January. Thank you to all the new people that came on in January.
I said July.
No, you said January.
No, I said July.
We'll check the receipts.
Go
after
back and
the show.
Listen to it.
What's going on, everybody?
What's up, David?
It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Where have you been? I hear you've become a marksman.
Yeah, I was shooting.
You shoot guns now.
I shoot guns now. I'm a gun shooter.
I didn't realize you voted for Trump.
Wow. No, but real talk though. So I went shooting, and the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this is not like that's Call of Duty. Don't make a comment about video games.
Oh no.
Be serious.
Because the people you were legit. With were legit guns. People.
Yeah, they're like legit guns. Gunsmiths, gunslingers,
gunzerkers,
gunzerkers. They're legit gunzerkers, and you know what? I'm pretty proud of how I did. I hit the target probably about 95% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
360 no scope.
360 no scope.
All right.
Yeah.
Curtis, what's going on, man?
I voted for Trump.
Just start there.
Why not? It can only go up from there, right?
Yeah. How do you feel about David's new affinity for weapons? Do you feel safe with this guy around?
I mean, if he's hitting targets, then yeah. I ain't pissing him off, so I'm not worried about it. Got to protect yourself. Hey, the bad guys got guns. Why shouldn't the good guys have them?
That's a good point. Speaking of the good guys, Sacramento Kings been making some moves, brother. How do you feel about the Kings postseason? We haven't had a chance to talk about this yet.
Oh, it's been fantastic. Free agency's been great. We assessed and acquired and fortified all of our needs. We got veterans. We got actually three guys, or is it a total of four guys now? Three or four guys that already got rings. Not to mention a little scoop that I got. Wait. From some sources.
Hot off the presses?
Hot off the presses, but maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Oh, you can't.
Is it a rumor?
Is it a rumor?
No, it's official business. I literally have inside information.
What?
That fell into my lap, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oops, ahoy.
All right, well, go to skipintosh.com. Skippy leaks.
Skippy leaks.
Oh, my God.
It just happened.
Copyright that right now.
S-K-I-P-P-I.
Leaks. Yeah. Skippy leaks.
Joining us again, filling in for our friend Emma, who's been traveling across the United States. She's over at RTX, if you guys were wondering. You'd follow her adventures on Instagram. But we love to have our resident young person, Nexi. What's going on?
Hello. I'm here.
You are?
Yeah.
How have you been?
I'm existing.
That's a start.
I've been spending the past 3 days nonstop organizing my almost 5,000 Magic the Gathering cards.
What's wrong? Did somebody break your heart?
You know, I don't like to talk about personal stuff here.
No, so the answer is yes.
It's fine.
That's all you talk about here.
No, I just kind of... I go through like emotional waves sometimes, and this time I just kind of feel nothing. So
you start shooting guns.
Word. That's what the wife in American Beauty did, and that changed everything for her.
You know what? I was on an escalator the other day, and I shocked myself, and it was a good shock where it's like, holy shit, you felt that one. And I did it again, pop, and I did it again, pop, and it's like, and I'm going ow every time because it fucking hurts. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth was like, why are you doing that? I was like, that's a good point. I guess I just wanted to feel something.
To feel alive. Yeah. Dude, same thing happened to me. I was holding my AirPods in my hand, and I went to shut my car door. That was the biggest shock I felt. And I honestly thought I may have shorted out my AirPods. I felt it in my elbow.
Oh, no.
Well, we can get into some video game news while we're at it. We'll do a little follow-up story. We talked the last episode, you know, it was popular because I guess you guys really wanted to see what was up with Gamer Girl Bathwater. And there's a conspiracy a-brewing. What's going on, Nexie?
So, just to preface a little bit, this is kind of just... It was a rumor on 4chan. And it was completely false. Belle Delphine had responded to it. But a person had claimed that they took the Belle Delphine bathwater, the Gamer Girl bathwater, to get it tested to see if there was any traces of DNA in it. And to seeing if any of her dead skin or whatever, if she had actually played in the bathwater. It's so terrible. But
I leave the show for two shows, and this is what we come to. This is what we're talking about.
Well, to be fair, before you left, I think the stories were Creepo streamer hangs out in the bathrooms at E3. This is a lot of
weird news.
And then
now, we've been on a downturn for a while. Okay.
Gaming media has really gone down the hole.
Gone to hell.
The thing is with this, everyone's like, oh my gosh, Belle Delphine can now be like sued for false advertising, like claiming that she had actually played in this bathwater and she's selling us like a false product, blah, blah, blah. Well, that post was actually made literally the day after she started shipping out the Gamer Girl bathwater, and she made a statement about it saying that to the U.S., it would take at least 3 days for anybody to have acquired the bathwater, and the U.K. or outside of the U.S. would have taken much longer, so nobody could have actually had access to it.
So let me get this straight. Not only are we living in a world where we have streamers selling their bathwater, but we're living in a world where people are bootlegging streamer bathwater.
Yeah, or at the very least, like, just trying to ruin this person's life or career by saying I received it and it's a hoax.
Yeah, more so it's what Corey's saying, because everyone's just like, you can now like sue her. She is gonna have all these lawsuits on her hands. And it's like, well, she makes around 100K per month. I don't necessarily think that she's worried about that, even if that were the case.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. All right. Fortunately, I think we have some real news. So let's play one of our famous theme songs.
You're saying Gamer Girl Bathwater?
Emma. Yeah. Emma. Yes, we are.
Telling the news.
Except it's not. Except we got...
It's longer than I remember.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We're going to take a family approach to this one. We're going to go round robin and talk about some of the news stories. One thing I want to start with, just because it's huge and it's all over the internet, is Stranger Things hype.
Yes.
So, David, you added this one. What's going on with Stranger Things?
So, okay. I don't do any spoilers because apparently people in this room have not finished season 3.
And
you haven't even
began.
I don't give a damn. You can say whatever you want.
This is like Game of Thrones for you.
And I watched the last season. did all go the podcast. So
well, see, there you go. Just watch season 3 of Stranger Things.
Yeah, and then it'll be terrible.
It'll be fine.
I have the memory of a goldfish, so whatever you say here will not be leaving this room with me.
Wait, are you guys saying I could spoiler away? All right.
Let's do no Think spoilers.
No spoilers. Yeah. Okay, all right. But let me break down some records for you guys. So Netflix tweeted out Stranger Things Season 3 is breaking Netflix records. 40.7 million household accounts have been watching the show since July 4th.
Jeez.
More than any other film or series in its first 4 days, and 18.2 million have already finished the entire season. I am proud to say I am one of those 18.2 million. I think it was just as good as the other seasons. It left me with some feelings that I was not prepared to feel.
They do that to you because season two, it had that same kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
It made me, there was a few parts during that, death of a character, of a particular character. And then that final scene where they're at the dance, like there was a few parts that were getting me pretty choked up.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So take that and like put some hot sauce on it and light it on fire.
Wow.
I'm not emotionally ready.
No, you're not. I was not emotionally ready. I'm sitting there, watching it going, okay, I'm not gonna cry. I got this.
Embrace your feelings, dude. There's nothing wrong with crying.
And just push it way deep down and go shoot some guns. Whoa. But definitely watch the end credit scene after the last episode. There's only 8 episodes of the season. The last episode is an hour and like 17 minutes. By far the longest, I think, in at least this season. I don't know total, but definitely watch it because it sets it up. Although season 4 has not officially been confirmed, it's likely it's going to happen. And the Duffer Brothers are saying that if season 4 does happen, it's probably going to be the last season.
Good. Thank you.
I don't know. I don't think it's at that point to where we're like, okay, it could be over and we'll be happy with it. Like, I think maybe like one or two more seasons, like season 5 or 6, and I think it would be fine.
I've only seen the first episode of season 3, and I have no idea how things are gonna go with it, but I already feel like maybe a season 5 would be a little too much, but it really depends because the kids are getting older.
Exactly. That's the one thing though that I could see why. It's like they're getting older. I mean, in this one, it's like they're like either have gone through puberty or they're going through puberty. I mean, they're like 16
Millie is 15, so.
Well, yeah, I don't think they ever say how old the actual characters are. Yeah. They're not in a grade, like it's during summer, so we don't have the school to kind of like gauge, like, okay,
they're teenagers. Great.
They're teenagers.
They're like 13, 14, probably.
They seem so much older than that.
I think it's great.
Definitely looks a lot older.
I think a few things out of this, it kind of confirmed the sophomore slump to me because I definitely think the second season was the weakest now, and I'm only halfway through season 3.
I think so, yeah.
Really? I liked the second season more than the first.
Oh, well, you're just sick. You just
typical millennial.
Not judging you or anything.
No, okay, we need to take you to the hospital because I think you're sick. First season was so good.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but I personally preferred, especially maybe it's because of the connection with the characters and everything, and especially my heart being ripped out of my chest as it did twice.
Okay.
That's why I thought it was so much better.
There are some twists. Yeah. Okay.
It's getting very twisty.
Wow. So the ending of season 1, we thought 11 died.
Yeah.
So that's probably similar to what you're going to feel in season 3.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. I think that it's always good. When a show is this good and it keeps going, you're just always gambling with its legacy at this point. And I'd rather have one end a little too soon, just when you know the story's good, then have them do even one bad season before they call it.
Game of Thrones it.
Or Dexter, or there's so many you can go down and talk about how bad their final seasons were. Yikes.
Yeah. We did a whole episode on that already.
Yes. So I got a little story to throw on here. I got a little story to tell. Cuphead, everybody's favorite classic cartoon video game, is going to be going to Netflix. They made an announcement today. It was like, you know, all the entities came together. Netflix, King Features, and the developer are all working together to release a cartoon version on Netflix.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So is it going to follow the storyline of the game, or?
They said they're going to keep it separate. The first one told its story, and it's all good, but they want to tell original stories. And that it's going to be safe for kids, but written so it's like, I think every cartoon says that. I think that's like the equivalent of the Christian band that's not a Christian band. You know, they're always like, yeah, we're Christians, but we don't want to label our music as Christian music. That's
like all. Switchfoot.
Yeah, like Switchfoot.
Switchfoot, yeah. was Puddle of Mud? Was Puddle of Mud?
I don't think
Evanescence.
Evanescence. Evanescence. Oh, snap, that's right.
They're not a Christian band, but the members are Christians.
Lifehouse.
Yeah. That's the same thing I feel like when a cartoon person says, like, it's for kids, but there's jokes in it for adults, too, you know?
Right. It's like Toy Story. Like, you ever watch Toy Story as an adult, and you're like, holy crap. This is a kid's movie? Like, there's so many innuendos in there.
The crane with the legs and the fishnets, it's literally a hooker.
Yeah.
That just made sense right now. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
Next week, Cuphead seems like a game a young person like yourself would play. Did you ever play that one?
I never played it. I actually had just gotten into PC gaming right after the Cuphead craze. So I never got into it.
It's popular for streamers who like to whose audience like to see them suffer.
Oh, then that's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll play it.
The game is so ridiculously hard. Curtis,
I'll see myself suffer. It's fine.
I know you haven't played Cuphead, but what do you think about it coming to cartoon? Any interest?
That's funny that you asked me that, cuz I was getting ready to ask y'all, like, what is the demand look like for this, cuz this just sounds like another round of Netflix just trying to, like, acquire something so they have their own content before more of other studios, you know, content gets pulled from their servers. So,
yeah.
I know the name of the game is Cuphead, but this sounds like Netflix just being thirsty.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. Trying to drink out of the cup?
They can't.
I mean, the thing is that this is about a month old, but Magic the Gathering too is getting a cartoon version on Netflix, like a animated show. So
is it an anime?
No,
I feel like they would make an anime style.
That would be really cool, though.
Nah, man. That would be like even thirstier. I don't know. Netflix being thirsty is, I don't know what. Hey, we'll see what it's like when it comes out. But they didn't have. I mean, it's funny. Props to Netflix for, you know, creating the platform that they have and whatnot, and, you know, and in some ways, you know, I don't want to say that they were the birth of it, but, you know, House of Cards coming through, making incredible content, pushing other avenues and networks to make better content and whatever. But we forget, like, how many duds they have. They have done this thing so many times with so many other properties, and those shows have been utter rubbish.
Yeah. They do seem to take the approach of, like, just grab a handful of ideas, throw it out there, see what sticks.
Yeah. And then, oh, they don't even see what sticks. They just throw it out there and throw a few mil behind it. I mean, like, see who watches it. You know what I mean?
Instead of this, I'd rather them make a season 2 of Lost in Space. That was a really good show I liked.
Word. I did not see that show.
I think maybe this could be a future web talk, but it'd be interesting to talk about these Netflix adaptations, because we're getting Witcher now. Mm-hmm. This is actually the second one to be announced. And then the Resident Evil, too. Remember Resident Evil's getting a reboot, reboot,
that's serious true.
Thing? So Netflix, they hired a gamer who has gotten in their ear over there, and they're like, gaming is a multi-billion-dollar industry. We need to start bringing as many franchises over here that we think can apply. And they're reaching out and making deals fairly quickly.
Yeah.
The Witcher, did you guys see the posters?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like Superman with long hair to me.
I thought the first ones that they showed, like, everyone, the internet kind of roasted them.
Yeah.
I think deservedly so, but, like, the more recent ones that just came out, like, last week, actually, I mean, I was convinced.
Are they
convinced.
Better?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah, the first ones.
First ones were bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, so Superman's a witch hunter now. Is what we're seeing.
I think the big news of the day, man. Curtis, you were on top of this one. Your boys at Nintendo, what are they doing to us?
Lightning our load.
Badoon-tsh. I like it.
Dad joke for y'all. Nintendo Switch Lite has been announced a lot. I know a lot of us thought that when the leaks and the rumors had began on Nintendo creating, at first, originally, we thought it was going to be two different Switches. We thought we were going to get a larger model, possibly with a better graphics card in it. And then we also thought that we were going to get a smaller version to kind of fully replace the DS line. And, you know, people hit the nail on the head with the smaller version. So we have officially gotten the announcement for the Nintendo Switch Lite. We got a price point of $199, so $100 cheaper than the current Switch model. Launching September 20th. Just so happens that the Link's Awakening is going to launch that same day. So no coincidence there, right? We got announced three different colors. We got a yellow, a teal, and a gray. So that makes sense. Of course, they had to do a yellow one because of Pikachu and Pokemon. Because they might as well have just named them Nintendo Pokemon, you know, machines or whatever. Because that's really what they're here for. But a few tech specs to go over, because a lot of people had questions like, you know, what do we have if we're gonna make it smaller? What are gonna be the sacrifices? Right? It's always more expensive to miniaturize, you know, the higher grade technology. So as a lot of people guessed it, no detachable Joy-Cons.
Yep, we called that one.
Yep, which, you know, when we talked about it, remember that was like one of my biggest points of contention, because I was like, well, if you can't take the Joy-Cons off, you're taking away some of its namesake. It's not able to switch fully if you can't remove the Joy-Cons. And sure enough, it's also not dockable, so it's handheld mode only. So you will not be able to connect it to your television. Again, you know, me going at the namesake, it's not Switch, but that's the power of branding, right? You got a name that sticks so hard, or so well, I should say, when it comes back around time to functionality, you kind of push some of that stuff in the back door and just add it to your family of Switches. So another few things to go over. No HD Rumble, obviously, was another thing that got sacrificed. What I do like, and this is nothing to fawn over, but I'm an OG retro gamer, so there is a traditional D-pad in place of the four circular buttons on the left side. So that was something. And like me, I modded my Switch. I didn't do like the full shell mod, but I got the one where it comes with adhesive and you put the button over top. So I got a four-way directional pad that way. So some of this will be relevant for some people. Of course, the screen is smaller. It's a 5.5-inch screen. The max is still 720. And I know some people were like, oh, maybe we'll get a higher resolution screen. I'm like, again, we're miniaturizing this technology.
The whole point of this thing, besides even miniaturizing, was cutting costs.
Yeah, that's another point.
This is the Nintendo 2DS of its time.
Yeah, Nintendo 2DS. Yeah, 2DS. Yeah, exactly. I can't do the 2DS XL, but yeah, 2DS.
Yeah.
of the Switch family. Battery life, 3 to 7 hours, as opposed to the normal Switch, which is 2.5 to 6.5. I'm kind of interested in that, but that's another topic. Tabletop mode is questionable, so that's the kind of thing. And remember, some games are like A, best in tabletop mode, or B, like kind of require tabletop mode, like 1-2 Switch.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, the gimmick of the game that most people say. I think it's really cool, but you know, like that's one of the games that, you know, you now they said you could still play it, which is interesting, but they did say some games flat out will not work. You got to check the back of the box, or you got to check the tech specs online, because it may not be compatible with
the
Switch Lite.
Same as the 2DS, because remember, their 3D was like a big feature in a lot of those games, like the Mario Dreamland game, like they built things into it just to be enjoyed in 3D. So you're not going to get the full experience if you play on 2D. Well, some you can go ahead.
The difference with that is even the 3DS had the option to turn off the 3D, so it wasn't like a feature that was constantly on. So this is full on excluding games from the system, as opposed to just not playing them in 3D, because you could already not play them in 3D on the 3DS.
Okay, I guess I could see your reasoning.
Yeah, this is further exclusion. I mean, it flat out saying it will not work. Yeah. And I mean, we had the 3DS XL, and you know, the new 3DS XL, and there were like a handful of games, like the game that Shulk is from, something Chrono. Oh, gosh, I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, there was
Chrono
a few.
Trigger?
Huh?
Isn't it Chrono Trigger?
Yeah, it wasn't Chrono Trigger. Or it was another one that was.
I don't know. Man.
Yeah, it was
I don't know these
similar
games.
To that. I forget the exact name of the game, but there were a handful that was like you had to have the new 3DS XL in order to be able to play it or whatever.
Xenoblade Chronicles.
Xenoblade. Yeah. Thank you. Outside of that, one other thing is other games will require normal Joy-Cons. So going back to the whole questionable tabletop thing, if you do want to play 1-2 Switch, which they say you can, you have to get a separate pair of Joy-Cons if you don't already have a Switch.
And Joy-Cons in them, so, like a pair
bucks.
Of Joy-Cons, $80.
So you're $20 away from a
Yeah.
From a full version.
Might as well.
Yeah. So they're giving you the option, but you just have to pay the cost that they cut for you to own the damn thing to begin with.
Yeah.
That's why I was okay with this whole announcement, because some people got upset, but I'm all for lowering that barrier of entry for people who want to enjoy the game or have small children who don't need the power of the full Switch. Just like the 2DS, like all the, like a bunch of little kids, toddlers and things, you know, couldn't use the 3D. You don't want, you know, them using it, or it's too much. It was too expensive even for a toddler who's going to throw it around and break it. Mm-hmm. If we know anything about Nintendo, they put quality. Like, I'm looking at the pictures of this box, and I already know it's not going to feel any cheaper than your current DS. Nintendo makes sick hardware. It's just going to be to get lower that barrier to entry, to get more people playing the games for cheaper and for a more simple audience. So
durability plays a factor too, because that's the other thing. Nintendo is notorious for, you know, they having that Game Boy that went out, you know, to whatever Iraq with that dude and got blown up and came back and it still turns on. But durability is another thing. They build very durable products, but now that you have a component that's like, you know, single shell, and you don't have these you know, things on the, you know, these peripherals or whatever you want to call them that you could take off and would snap easier. So it's also a more durable unit for younger kids too. And then, like, especially like if you're going to, like, you know, okay, I got two kids, Christmas is coming up. Well, I can get them two Switches for almost the price, you know, two Switch Lights for the price, almost the price of a regular Switch.
Yeah.
So it's really demographics, and that's what businesses do, right? Okay, we got a new demographic, we want to target them, and then they add in all those things. So it's a business move. I'm not upset with it, because they're like you said, they're not skimping on quality.
Yeah, they're not taking anything away from you. Like, we have a Switch. It's the superior product.
Right.
This is just a cheaper version of it.
Right.
What do you think, David? Are you going to be getting one of these?
Nah, I have the regular Switch. There's no need to. But, I mean, I thought... I was just reading up in an article while you guys were talking, and I thought this is going to be pretty much replacing the 3DS, but Nintendo's like, no, we're still going to support the 3DS and the 2DS. And the Switch Lite is coming in at the same price point as the highest-end 3DS.
So yeah, that's
you kind of have, you know... And then you got the 2DS for $80. So they're still keeping those handhelds around, even though the article is reading there was not one 3DS on the show floor at E3 this year.
Is that
everything,
right?
Everything's moved to the Switch. So game library is getting a little dried out, but they're still making them.
Yeah, they are still releasing games. Like, in some of their more recent Nintendo Directs, they're still announcing games for the 3DS, but most of what they have to offer is now being on the Switch.
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing. That's like, that's the people who can be upset. Like, if you're a 3DS person who still, and I guess there's a lot of people out there who's still pretty hardcore on that thing, well, you're kind of getting forced to jump up to this Switch Lite. This is the new 3DS. They're not going to make a new, you know, mini version. They're mixing their world completely now from their big TV to mobile games. Big move for Nintendo, because they've always had, since the Game Boy, there's always been a handheld option.
Right.
So that, I guess in that respect. And then I guess streamers, too. Like, this thing won't be good for streaming since there's no dock.
Yeah, right. There's no streaming capabilities unless... I mean, same with the 3DS. There was no streaming capabilities with the 3DS, but they did have Katsukitty, who recently went bankrupt, who did create capture kits for the 3DS, but... we're not sure if anything like that is going to be manufactured for, like, third-party manufactured for the Switch Lite.
What's still a USB-C connector? I mean, I could see somebody coming out with an adapter, USB-C to HDMI.
Yeah, but if they didn't put, I'm assuming that they also put a different GPU, because that's, like, going to be one of the most expensive components, right?
True.
Yeah. They probably didn't put one powerful enough to drive it to do that. So the port's still there, but if the hardware can't support pushing the feed to another display, then it won't.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Nintendo are the masters, even today, of being proprietary. In a world where console gaming is pretty much PC gaming,
right.
That's because those walls came down, really, in being able to keep your software proprietary and your hardware.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a reason you don't see more hacked versions of Mario on Xboxes and things like that, because they can't. Nintendo locks it down.
Oh, yeah.
So if they don't want you to stream off this thing, they found a fucking way where you're not going to be able to stream on this.
And to be honest, the way Nintendo, their relationship with streamers, that's not surprising.
Yeah. I don't think they care too much about that.
No.
Cool. Any last thoughts on this one? The best thing about this story was it just reminded me that Link's Awakening's coming up here pretty soon. I want to get my hands on that game.
It looks so cute.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Cool. The last story we got here, too. We didn't have enough time to cover it last week, but Apex Legends, back at it again. They finally came out with their Season 2, and they announced the character Watson at E3. So that character is now officially in the game. There's a new weapon. They added some hop-ups. Ranked play is in there now, which is something most of these battle royales have been lacking. And they say that they fixed their battle pass system.
What does that mean?
I think they added, they did more things to keep it interesting. Because that was that problem with it last time.
Right.
Like, they had it there, and you just had to grind. But this one, they, made challenges a little more prevalent, daily.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, so you can get XP bonuses and just changes up the game a little bit.
Yeah.
They added more legendary weapons because during Season 1, they added less than a handful.
Okay.
And they're so hard to get anyways, you would have been grinding that game forever. So they added a lot more legendaries and new content types like music packs, emotes, and even loading screens.
Okay, that's cool.
They did the same thing as predicted. When Season 2 came out, they paid all the big streamers to, make it hot again.
Yeah.
But it just didn't take like last time. Okay. I'm not seeing a whole bunch of, meme culture taking over. I'm not seeing a lot of interactions on Twitter about it. I'm sure more people are playing it.
Yeah.
But, David, you were playing it, and you have a group of friends who are playing it. Are any of them back on Apex excited about Season 2?
Not that I'm aware of. I know I'm not. I like the game still. I still think it's a great game, and I still think it's fun to play. But I think it needs something else. And I don't... I the only thing I can think of is a new map. I think a new map would drive people back to the game.
So they already did that, too. Like, in the Season 2, they didn't completely change the map, but they are taking the Fortnite approach, it looks like.
Okay.
You know those giant dinosaur things that were off in the water? They have come to land now, and they've knocked some of the buildings over and stuff. There's dragons in the game now.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
So they did do stuff that...
They did stuff. I'm looking at this should be the highlight. I don't know why we haven't talked about this yet. Mozambique is now somewhat relevant with the hammer point round.
It really is.
They got the hammer tech.
Yeah, they did. And my first game, I got a Mozambique. Didn't even realize I had that equip on there. And some dude comes around the corner, blasted him in the chest, and he died. And I was like, what?
Mozambique? Yeah.
I had three knocks in that match with the Mozambique. That's more knocks than I had the entirety of the first season of this damn game.
Dang. Mozambique came up.
Mozambique is here, guys.
There's a weird thing in I guess it might be every culture, maybe game culture too, but specifically, but like games like Apex, who catch fire in everybody's imagination, everybody likes them. Likes to say they like them, but nobody's actually playing them.
Right.
I feel like Overwatch.
I feel attacked right now.
No, Overwatch is... I'm not even talking about this game. Like, it happens to be true in this case, but, like, for Overwatch, that game came out, and it was hot for a long time. And everybody loves to, buy the pops and dress up as the characters, and, you have that tie to the game. But the player base has just been dwindling.
Same way. I like Overwatch. Cannot tell you the last time I played it.
Yeah. So it's weird. If you like these games, you got to support them if they're important. Otherwise, I don't know. You're confusing the market for guys like me who are trying to figure it all out. I don't know. Support your games, everybody. But that was the news. That means it's that time of the show, everybody. Curtis's Comic Corner, brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. What did they hook you up with this week, Curtis?
Shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for hooking us up with comics to review for y'all this week. We have the continuation of Event Leviathan, which is currently the DC event that's going on right now. Passed around this way. Brian Michael Bendis is the writer, and Alex Maleev is the artist. As you guys may or may not know, I talk about them. Sometimes I can't remember if I talk about them off the air or on the air most of the time. But Brian Michael Bendis is one of my least favorite writers in all of comics. Oddly enough, Alex Maleev is one of my favorite artists in all of comics. So I challenged myself last time, and Laura from Oblivion Comics and Coffee hooked us up with Event Leviathan number one, and I was actually digging it. I always like to challenge myself to go back to things that I didn't like before and just see how I feel about them now. Has the writer gotten better? Have my taste buds changed? And I was digging it. Although there was a prequel to Event Leviathan where they were supposed to start conjuring up the story and wetting everybody's whistle, you know what I mean, and getting our appetites flowing. Issue number one was slow, and I was okay with that. It mostly took place, you know, in one set and kind of referenced a few other things going on. It was setting things up. I was okay with the dialogue. It wasn't great, but I liked the players. We got Batman in here. We got the Question in here, and it's actually Rene Montoya as the Question. We have Green Arrow. We have
Red Hood.
Red Hood was in this one, and it was basically, since no one knew what was going on, this Leviathan had come in and like kind of crashed Argus and Spiral, all of like the espionage organizations within the DC universe. Like Leviathan took them all out like in the same night. So everybody's tripping out. Lois Lane is there as well. So they kind of band together and say, hey, we're all detectives. Why don't we all work together on the leads and try to figure out what this is? Because the next hit, you know, or the next attack is supposed to happen in the morning. And I was cool with that. Like I said, it all happened pretty much in one place. Well, this one kind of did the same thing. Like you come in, as Webb said, you come in on Red Hood and Batman talking, and they're having this conversation on like a roof stoop, and it never leaves that the whole time. Again, they're referencing other things, and you see other people and other players, and they have this conversation, and there is a few cool twists and turns. Of course, I'm not going to tell you the whole story because you may want to check it out. There's some half decent writing in there, and like I said, some good twists and turns, but overall, it just doesn't really move. It does, like, the first one, okay, you want to start off slow, you build up fine, but, like, the pacing, you know, I love Reservoir Dogs, don't get me wrong. Anybody who's ever seen Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs, we all know that it pretty much happens in one room, and it is incredible. But you got to write your face off if you're going to do that, and unfortunately, Brian Michael Bendis, again, shows me why he is not one of my favorite writers.
Yeah, you have a point though, man. The art on this is really, really nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alex Maleev is sick. And so, you know, you'll dig that element. And I'm someone who loves noir stories, so I like dark and I like, you know, like muted colors and all that stuff. So you'll flip through this book and fall in love with the way it looks, most likely. But as far as like the characterization and the pace and where it goes, and I'll be honest, I didn't really love the twist, nor did I feel like it was earned. And C, I'm not sure if that's actually what he was selling me when he was writing it. It's like he's selling this thing, and then the twist happens, and I'm like, did you set me up for this twist? Because I was reading it, but I don't know, like, if I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about it. So I can't highly recommend it for the story itself, but for the art alone, if you're an Alex Maleev fan, Alex Maleev does not disappoint. So Event Leviathan, number two, Brian Michael Bendis.
Wow.
Thanks. Now,
shout outs to DC for still putting Swamp Thing advertisements in their comic books.
Yeah. Right. So
we paid for the fucking... We paid for the ink.
Right. We paid for the ink, so we got to print it. Yeah. Even though we canceled the show or whatever.
Yeah, just leave a blank page for me to doodle my own thing.
I know, right? What if I want to doodle a little bit? Get my art skills
waste
up.
Waste of space.
Jeez Louise.
What else we got this week?
Now we go from one of my least favorite writers to one of my favorite writers, Ed Brubaker.
Oh, yeah.
Criminal number six. Y'all remember that I reviewed Criminal number one a while back. I like my superheroes to be superheroes and good and all that stuff. But when it's clear what things are about, all good. This is a book about crime and the criminals who do them. And in this particular case, this actually isn't. There was a break in Criminal through issue number two and three, although a character from this story was in it. This one is the continuation. I just love this story. You take a dirty, rotten scoundrel like Teague Lawless, and you show him falling in love, and to watch such a hardened, like, guy, like, fall in love and have all of those feelings and a smile on his face and all of that stuff, it's so interesting. And, you know, not only from my life, but some other people that I know, like, have, a bit of a similar story in this vein. So, I the art is incredible and it's perfect and it's dark and it's noir. And the writing is just spot on. Ed Brubaker is an immense talent. I also got to plug something for him at the end of the book. You know, like most writers, when they do their indie books, you know, the creator owned books, they do like the newsletters and they'll talk. Well, him, he just finished writing the show that's on Amazon Prime called Too Old to Die Young with Nicholas Winding Refn, the director who did Drive with Ryan Gosling and all that stuff. And, it's funny, he was talking about, like, being a writer on it, and he was like, and it shows pictures of him up on stage, and he was like, yeah, I was up on stage, I didn't talk much, I just stood next to Keanu Reeves the whole time because he was narrating it. So I had to throw it in there because it's another Keanu reference.
You gotta love our Keanu.
Yeah, but Ed, and he also talks about, you know, the difficulties of being a writer. This is a man who has tackled comics. He's already done incredible things in comics, and he's written an episode of Westworld. So most of those guys, if you kill it in comics, you move over to screenwriting because there's not a lot of money in comics. You want to keep going, and then ultimately you would like to be a screenwriter.
So this guy's on the up and up.
He's on the up and up, and I'm definitely going to check out Too Old to Die Young because it's kind of right in line with the rest of his stuff. But I will say he was transparent, was like, it did kind of get taken over a little bit by the director and the other people writing on it. But Criminal is incredible. I love it so much. I really think it, if you like noir movies or if you like noir, if you like crime, if you like, you know, more realistic kind of world things, this is the perfect book for you. The writing is incredible, and how he ties everything together and has each issue be from a viewpoint of a different character and still make it so cohesive.
Yeah.
It's masterwork. So again, thanks to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for providing us with dope books to review for y'all. And if you weren't there for the Disney trivia night that we just had this past Monday.
Yeah, buddy.
We had a great show out. Corey, how many teams do we have there?
I don't know. It's always a good question where you need to go outside to grab all the chairs to bring them inside. Right. Like, that's always our goal when we do those events, and we hit it last this week. And thank you to everybody who from Sacramento who decided to show up, hang out, and talk Disney.
Yes.
So that we had a team win. They were the Nobel Prize winners, and they ended up getting IMAX tickets, nice. $20 to spend in Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Shout out to second place, though. He's in chat right now. Jason Gist, our boy Capital Fight District, who's hosting everything going on at the Cal State Fair, the esports room. He brought his family out, put up a valiant effort, and ended up getting second place.
Nice. Home with them,
So thanks for them for coming out. And if you enjoy the show and live in Northern California, want to hang out with the crew, just come out to Oblivion Comics Coffee the first Monday of the week. I think August 12th is our next one.
Yes, August 12th.
Yep. We want to see you guys out there. And big shout out to Nexus's mom. Nexi, you have the best parents of all time. Like, they drop her off, you know, because for whatever reason, Nexus doesn't drive. So her parents drop her off, and I go out there, and they give me a big old wave and thumbs up, and I give them a big old wave and thumbs up. They're great people. So thank you so much for that $20 donation helping keep the lights on. That's our show, though, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out. Nexi, because your mom, just tipped us, you can go ahead and just run the rest of the show. Do you want to plug anything? She bought you the last 5 minutes. go wild.
The only thing I want to plug is my phone in because it's dying.
Are you streaming yet? We gotta get you back streaming.
I haven't been streaming for the past like week and a half, but I will be back sometime at some point. But you can follow me on twitch.tv/nexuswashere_ and turn on those stream notifications.
Ooh.
And then you can finally figure out when I get it together.
Click that bell, everybody. David Webb, what about you, man? I've been waiting. I wait by my computer every night.
Yeah.
You know, and I just refresh your Twitch channel hoping it'll come back on. What's going on, man? When are you coming back?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't have time to stream right now.
Just living life.
Just living life.
You're just out there.
Just out there.
All right, shooting them shots.
Shooting them shots.
All right,
literally and figuratively.
What's you know, what are you learning most about life right now that you would impart some wisdom to listeners?
Oh man.
On this spirit quest you're on.
You know what? Go outside more.
Hey, get that vitamin D. Yeah, man, it's all about that D. Curtis, what about you?
all about that D for David. I
don't co-sign on that.
I don't got no life. I ain't shooting no shots. I ain't going to the range and shooting no shots. Ain't no women. So, you know, I just been up at the house. Although I haven't been streaming much, which eventually I will get back over to. I did just start a new King's podcast with a local YouTuber Tap2K.
Whoa, so, making moves.
Yeah, the Sacktown Breakdown. We had our first episode, which is live, so you can find us on Podbeam, the Sacktown Breakdown. You can also find us on YouTube, the Sacktown Breakdown. And it's two of us, so expect more content, at least a few videos every week. Support us. Well, we're not only talking about the Sacramento Kings, we'll also be talking about the Sacramento Kings Guard, the NBA 2K affiliate. Nice. Who I will be at the California State Fair with Jay from Capital Fight District, helping host the NBA 2K tournament. So if you are in Northern California, and you should come out this weekend to the California State Fair. There's an NBA 2K tournament. I'll be there, and the Kings Guard will also be there, all of the members. So you can maybe talk to them, see what it's like to be a professional 2K player in this ever-evolving esports sphere that we are living in.
Yeah, we'll be at the fair quite a bit this year. So if you are visiting from other parts of California or the world, because it is a pretty big fair, we'll be there in the esports room. Like we said, one of our good friends, Jay Gist, is actually running the whole thing, all the programming. On the first weekend, there's going to be the 2K, like Curtis mentioned. And then the next week, we have Nairo, Smash legend, along with Garrett G, a Rocket League legend, are both going to be there doing signings, a Q&A, which I'm going to host. And then the next day, the 21st, we're going to have a surprise San Francisco Shock player come through and be there for the Overwatch tournaments.
You know who else is going to be there?
Who?
Funnel Cakes.
Funnel Cakes will be there.
I'm going to get some Funnel Cakes.
All right.
Before we log off, we got to say what's going on. Nexie's mom just put in chat, goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning of the show. Every surface in our house is covered with Magic the Gathering cards.
I have almost 5,000 cards that I'm trying to organize.
That's why you ain't been streaming. Gosh. You've been doing that. You should just stream yourself organizing your Magic the Gathering
cards. You know what, though?
This would just be me, like, scanning with my phone, trying to figure out the alphabetical order, and then, like, sitting in the corner crying for a couple minutes, then going back to it, and then just...
Nexus, other streamers are selling their fucking bathwater. Right? They'll watch you organize Magic cards.
I helped you move, like what, like 4 years ago at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember helping you move it from the old house, and every time I moved something at the old house, second Magic card's behind it. That's my it's like the Punisher movie where he has guns everywhere. It's like that, but Magic cards for Corey.
Somebody got decks everywhere.
Somebody tried to surprise him with a magic attack. Yeah, boom.
I'm ready.
He's got them coming out the sleeves like, yeah. Damn, yeah. Let's go.
Don't try my couch deck. Deck I got stuck in the couch. Yeah, no, that's how it be with Magic cards, man. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, like Mega Ran said, hit that like and subscribe wherever you're listening to it, on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Pandora Radio, Google Play, everywhere you can find podcasts. We really appreciate those subs, those rates, and tell your friends about the show. For Curtis, David, Nexie, my name is Corey Sang. You've just been banged.